From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The Okanagan Wildfire Complex in Washington State continues to spread. It now covers some 470 square miles, and at last report is only 12% contained. It's the largest in the state's recorded history and is only one of many wildfires blazing in the West. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says fighting them is costing the U.S. Forest Service $150 million every week. As Oregon Public Broadcasting's Conrad Wilson reports, that amounts to a major percentage of its budget.
Secretary Vilsack says the cost of fighting wildfires is now 52% of the Forest Service's budget. In Oregon alone, he says, the agency is spending $10 million a day to suppress wildfires.
First time in the history of the Forest Service that we're spending more money for fire suppression than anything else.
A bill in the U.S. Senate could help address mounting costs. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden and Idaho Senator Mike Crapo are working with other Western senators to change the way wildfire suppression gets funded. The bill would pay for wildfires out of a disaster account, similar to cleanup from hurricanes and tornadoes. That would free up more funds for wildfire prevention. Wyden says the bill's a priority when Congress reconvenes in September. For NPR News, I'm Conrad Wilson in Portland.
Turkish fighter jets have carried out airstrikes on Islamic State extremists in Syria. The strikes were part of the U.S.-led coalition battling ISIS. Meanwhile, a temporary truce between two warring areas in Syria is now over. As NPR's Allison Muse reports, negotiations between the Syrian government's patron, Iran, and a rebel group have broken down.
The Syrian army and its ally Hezbollah are again bombarding the town of Zebedani. It's the last rebel enclave along Syria's border with Lebanon. Across the country, Islamist rebel factions are attacking two of the last regime-held villages in the north. The besieged villages are home to Syria's Shia minority. The rebels say they're using them as a pressure point on the regime forces attacking Zebedani. Earlier this month, Iran began negotiating with Syrian rebels in Istanbul, and this is the second time a truce has broken down without result. Activists from both warring sides tell NPR that Iran is pushing for a population exchange. Allison Muse, NPR News, Beirut.
An Egyptian court has sentenced three Al Jazeera English journalists to 3 years in prison after a retrial on charges of broadcasting material harmful to Egypt. Amal Clooney, the defense lawyer for reporter Mohamed Fahmy, says the charges are unsubstantiated.
Egypt's own Supreme Court, when they looked at this case, said there wasn't sufficient evidence. So the verdict today sends a very dangerous message in Egypt. It sends a message that journalists can be locked up for simply doing their job.
Clooney says she'll meet with Egyptian officials to ask for a pardon. This is NPR. Top European officials are considering new identification requirements for travelers on cross-border trains. They're meeting in Paris to review new train security measures after this month's thwarted attack on a high-speed train from Amsterdam to Paris. The ministers are also considering baggage scans and deploying more armed guards. The CEO and founder of the company that runs the adultery website AshleyMadison.com is stepping down. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, Noel Biderman's resignation comes after the company's website was hacked and millions of its members were outed.
Biderman leaves Avid Life Media as part of a mutual agreement with the company. In a television interview a year ago, he described Ashley Madison's computer servers as, quote, kind of untouchable. But the website was the victim of a cyber attack in July, and last week the hackers exposed millions of names of people alleged to have been users of the adultery website. Since then, the company has offered a $500,000 reward for information leading to a conviction, and a class action lawsuit has been filed against Avid Life Media for failing to protect the personal data of Ashley users. Analysts say Biderman's departure could be a sign the company's days are numbered. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Police in Thailand say they've arrested a suspect in the bombing of a shrine in Bangkok nearly 2 weeks ago that killed 20 people. Officials say the suspect is a foreigner and that bomb-making materials and several fake passports were found in his apartment. The 28-year-old suspect is being held at a Thai military facility. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington. Support.